Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I don't think anybody wants to move past this season faster than the San Francisco 49ers. Just leave this one in the rear view. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It started immediately after the Super Bowl, devastating loss in overtime to the Chiefs, Pearl, and then it felt like everything was kind of working against the 49ers, whether it was contract stuff, self-inflicted, whether it was off-the-field stuff that got very tragic, and Ricky Pearsall, and just every, and then injuries, of course, everything that seemed that could go wrong did go wrong for the 49ers. They have to flush this season, and the best way to do that is to get this contract done with Brock Purdy as soon as humanly possible.
Why? What difference does it make if they do this now or later? I don't understand.
So glad you asked. I think we just came off of an offseason where it feels like it's the way the 49ers do business now, which is to drag these contract negotiations out. And I get it. It takes two to tango, so it's part on the player as well. But it feels like this is now almost like a strategy. It was Kittle. It was Fred Warner. It was Bosa. It was Ayuk. It's Trent Williams. It's guys who are core, important pieces to this team that they are dragging these contract negotiations out way longer than they need to. Purdy's the guy. Or maybe we'll disagree about whether Purdy's the guy. I think Purdy's the guy. If you are going to pay him and you want him to be the future, get this done. Don't let it linger until the draft, and then we're talking about what are the 49ers doing in the draft. Don't let it linger where we're talking about teams are inquiring about trading for Brock Purdy. Don't make all the mistakes that you made this offseason and offseasons past that I think, quite frankly, I don't know if it like led to all the bad things that happened to the 49ers this season, but it certainly didn't help.
Well, I mean, honestly, you know what I think the number one problem was.
What's that?
I think their special teams unit destroyed this team. It just utterly destroyed them. And then injuries caught up. But that being said, I am not going to do a quick negotiation because Purdy's going to ask for the top of market. And, like, you can't do that. There's no reason for you to do that. I mean, you're a team that has switched quarterbacks all over the place and had no plan whatsoever and kept on winning. Like, they gave up on Jimmy G, brought him back, gave up on Jimmy G, brought in Trey Lance, found Purdy. Like, Shanahan will change his mind every 2 years on quarterback. You're not making a massive commitment to Brock Purdy. That would be nuts.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's actually funny. The one sort of outlier to all of the contract negotiations that got drawn out, in my opinion, unnecessarily by the 49ers, I guess there's two. Christian McCaffrey, who we didn't even know wanted any more money, and then they just gave it to him.
But that money was, in the big picture, totally insignificant. Totally. That's like $5 million.
Okay,
who cares?
It was Jimmy Garoppolo, who they actually paid with no problem. They paid Jimmy, at the time, it was like $137 million over 5 years. So we're not talking about $50 million here. We're talking more about $30 or whatever it is. I can't do the math quickly. But it's like they rushed and handed Jimmy money.
Yeah, when he's 5-0.
But that didn't burn them. You know?
Right,
and in fact, they ended up needing him even when they thought they were done with him. So to me, again, no reason to mess around here with Brock.
It burned them in the sense that they had to use a number 3 overall pick on a quarterback.
Like, well, they traded up twice. They thought they had the future with Trey Lance. That's their fault.
Big chunk of their future. I know it's their fault, but they didn't feel like that Jimmy G was doing the job. And I guarantee he's going to fall out of love with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, in the last couple of meaningful games, like, he was making some bad mistakes.
Well, he's hurt.
He's heard how.
Well, wasn't he? He had gotten banged up through the season. Remember his elbow that was all messed up? And it was like they thought at one point it might be another ligament thing. And it looks like, thank goodness, that's not the case.
I don't know. Here's the thing. There's going to be no Debo. Eventually, there's going to be no Kittle. I know Ricky Pearsall had a nice week 18. I think this is going to be tough moving forward, especially with these running backs getting carted off every three plays. How much does McCaffrey have left in the tank? I think the Niners, if they're going to be honest with themselves, they think paying $58 or $60 million for Brock Purdy for 4 years, if you think this is the answer, I think that's a very, very suspicious plan. Like, I don't think that they're going to win at a high level. Like, honestly, they need to get him in a bargain so they can keep building around him.
Here is Brock Purdy. He was talking about this yesterday. He says he's not sure how these contract negotiations will go, but he hopes it's quick.
It's my first time going through all this. I don't really know, like, how, you know, what the next step is, but you know, we'll see. Obviously, I like to get it done sooner rather than later, just so I can come back to work and get going with all the guys here, like I said. So we'll see.
Okay, so I get that from his perspective. I don't even know if I would have said that much, though, if I were Purdy. His agents are probably saying, don't say anything, you know, don't say anything. But listen, is he going to get $60 million, the top of what Dak Prescott got? Probably not, because the Cowboys, I'd love to negotiate against the Cowboys. Oh, my gosh. That seems like it's very fun, because the players always seem to win those negotiations. But do I think that Brock Purdy is going to be top five? And I'll tell you what top five looks like in terms of average per year. Dak is one at 60. Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence are tied at 50. Oh, excuse me. Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, and Jordan Love are all tied at $55 million a year. Then Tua's at 53.1. Jared Goff's at 53. I think that Brock Purdy is going to be more than Jared Goff. I think it's more than 53. I think it's going to be top five. And I think the 49ers probably deep down know that. And why wouldn't a guy who's played to his level, forget, miss me with where he was drafted, okay? It's not Brock Purdy's fault that he was drafted there, and it's not his burden to say just because I was drafted there means I should be just happy with whatever contract they want to give me. That's not how this works. Guy was in the MVP conversation. People told me that I was a hater, said if he had been drafted top five, he would definitely have gotten an MVP. It was draft bias that was being held against him. You got to talk about how he's played and what he means to this team, not where he was drafted.
Yeah, but how he played, he's coming off a season with 20 touchdowns, 12 picks, massive. His percentage, completion percentage went from 69.4 to 65.9. A huge step back.
Who played well this year for the 49ers? Who played well?
Well, he definitely
took Noah Ayuk, who was his number one like safety blanket guy and his deep threat guy. He had no McCaffrey.
Right.
He had no Trent Williams, basically. Left tackle's gone. I mean, who do you have?
So, I mean, 20 times, I don't even care. If you have Kyle Shanahan as your coach and you have that kind of season, how many quarterbacks could have done what he did in San Francisco this year? 30. I think they're not dumb. They understand that, like, this, like, he is not a top five quarterback. They understand that. He's obviously a system quarterback.
Is Tua Tagovailoa a top five quarterback?
No.
Okay.
And that was a moronic.
Is Trevor Lawrence a top five quarterback?
Talent wise?
No, come on.
He's close.
Is Jordan Love a top five quarterback?
Talent wise, close.
Come on.
He's top 10. So is Trevor. I mean, Jordan Love is gorgeous to watch play quarterback. He's amazing.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. I'm just saying. These are the guys who are in front of, who are top five getting paid right now.
Okay,
and I'm
this.
Not sure if all of them are top five. Lamar Jackson is 8. Jalen Hurts is 9. It's not just all about ability here with who's getting paid.
Well, let me ask you this.
Patrick Mahomes is tied for 12th.
If you had Trevor Lawrence and Brock Purdy, if you had a choice as a new team, who would you take?
See, I think, again, I'd probably be accused of a draft bias because Brock Purdy has been way more productive than Trevor Lawrence.
Not. He's had one productive year. Lawrence's productive year was just as productive.
If he didn't get hurt against your Eagles in the NFC Championship game, it's possible that he's gone to the Super Bowl twice.
Well, regardless, I mean, Trevor Lawrence has definitely been as productive as Brock Purdy.
Listen, I'm not sure that's an easy answer.
That is it. Okay, let me ask you, Jordan Love, you have a choice between Jordan Love,
Trevor Lawrence, or Brock Purdy.
If you could start a team with one of those quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the slam dunk answer you think it is. I think people are very down on Trevor Lawrence, who's hurt, by the way. But I think Purdy is too.
What about Jordan Love?
Listen, I think this is a big playoffs for Jordan Love.
Jordan Love's awesome.
He is, but what are his numbers?
Let's see. This number is, he was in and out of the lineup.
He was
legit hurt. I mean, he really shouldn't have even played this year. Didn't he like spray? He had the same sprain as me.
Should have played. Get out of here with
that. Dude, you have no idea what a grade 2 MCL sprain is. I do. 25 touchdowns, 11 picks. And that was coming off a major, major knee injury. That's way better than 20 and 12.
A major, major knee injury puts you out for the year.
We thought he was done for the year. You remember the play? The guy was like carried off the field in Brazil.
Everyone,
you know what the healthcare is like down there?
Except for you, who said he's going to be back right away.
Yeah, but I mean, that did look
bad.
You're
like, come on, it's a grade two. Everyone plays on that. Now it's the, he got shot, you know? Come on. We can't have it both ways.
I mean, okay. Yeah, Jordan Love, I don't know. Like, Jordan Love's getting a hard time. He looked terrible on Sunday. I don't know what happened there. I don't think they cared about that game. I do not understand why. But he's had some really good games this year.
I'm just saying Brock Purdy has also, like, and here's the thing. If Jordan Love lost the amount of weapons and the left tackle and all this stuff, I think we'd be making every excuse for him. But for some reason now with Brock Purdy, it's like, well, Brock, you got to take a haircut.
Who are Jordan Love's weapons?
These young receiver core that he's growing with that everyone was falling all over themselves about last year.
I know. This mythical young receiver core.
Listen, I mean, Reed is good. Romeo Doubs had an all-time great playoff game last year. Definitely raised his stock.
Yeah, I mean, he's in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, and now Christian Watson has a torn ACL. And it's funny because you brought it up to me yesterday. Now we're talking about the Packers. Yeah. But Watson doesn't have a lot of volume of receptions, like almost none. But he's like their deep threat guy.
Yeah, no, my point is, like, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence are definitely a cut above. I think Purdy's very close to Tua. Like, he needs to be in the right place at the right time. And I'm a Purdy backer.
And Tua got paid.
Yeah, it was a huge mistake. And even when he got paid, everyone's like, whoa, what are the Dolphins doing? That was universally said because of health reasons.
Okay, so how do you want this to play out here? You want Purdy to you know what? You guys are right. I am Mr. Irrelevant, so I'll take $25 million a year and you can go on and give money to everyone else?
San Francisco 49ers have to present Baker Mayfield's contract to Brock Purdy and say, take this plus 5% and let's go.
Okay, Baker Mayfield is the 18th highest paid quarterback by average annual value. This dude is not taking the Baker Mayfield contract.
Why? No, Baker Mayfield's awesome.
Even Baker Mayfield is fine.
$33 million
is not getting it done.
Well,
give
it 5% more than Baker Mayfield.
He's not getting paid in the Derek Carr. Gardner Minshew's only. Well, Derek Carr, it's kind of a little bit of a drop off there. Baker, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Stafford. Like, he's not getting paid in there. Those guys have already made tons of money. Tons of money. He's not doing that. I'm curious what the 49er fans think. 855-212-4227. Because, Perloff, I think you're seeing this down year for Brock Purdy and saying that was all Brock Purdy's fault. Like, he should have overcome all of this.
Purdy made a lot of mistakes this year. He just did. I mean, I know the personnel was problematic, but you saw a really different quarterback where some of his physical limitations and some of his field vision cost him. Like, there was a pick that he threw in the last meaningful game that the Niners had. I was like, how did he not see that guy? Because what he had to do this year was move around a lot. And quarterbacks, when their legs are moving, their accuracy goes down, down, down. And you just didn't see, like, he couldn't lift the team on his own. I mean, that's not really, like, I'm not saying that many quarterbacks could have lifted this team. But if you're paying top of market, then it's got to be a guy who can lift the team. And Trevor Lawrence is that guy. I mean, I know you're down on him, but I would think that most coaches would be like, okay, that is a guy who can be the star quarterback on my team. Like, he can lift all boats. And I just don't think Purdy is that guy.
I guess. I don't want to make this just a referendum on Trevor Lawrence, but what lifting? Like, what are we doing? He's had one playoff appearance, and they had a 27-point lead, and they blew it. I'm sorry, they overcame it, excuse me.
Yeah, then but went he's into in Kansas Jacksonville. City.
That's an easier place to win.
No, I mean, like, the Trent Baalke's made all kinds of mistakes all over the field around him. Like, they spent
half $1 billion in free agency to get him guys.
Idiotic moves, like Christian Kirk for $70 million. Okay. Like, they made no sense. I don't know they spent the money, but they haven't brought in good players.
Okay, but if you're saying that a great quarterback lifts all boats here and raises the tide, why hasn't Trevor Lawrence turned those guys into Pro Bowlers? And by the way, I think Evan Ingram was a Pro Bowler. But why aren't they better if it's the quarterback and he's so great that he's making everyone look good?
Well, they're just like their whole thing. They are so dysfunctional. But they get a good coach. If they got Ben Johnson, Trevor Lawrence would be in the Pro Bowl this year. Next year. I'm guaranteeing it. Maybe Trevor Lawrence, by the way, had like his peak was really, really good.
I'm looking at the hierarchy of Perloff's loves, and it's like your daughters, your wife all together, yeah. and then Ben Johnson.
Well, when I say Ben Johnson, I mean any Kevin O'Connell kind of coach, any kind of like
Doug
really
Peterson
smart.
Peterson all of a sudden is like a guy who can't call an offense.
Yeah, Peterson. Yeah. Peterson, by the way.
He can design a Philly.
Got a lot of help from his coordinators in Philadelphia. I think even the most highest Doug Peterson fan would be like, oh, there was a lot going on there. He had
and what did DeFilippo. Frank Reich do when he became a head coach?
I'm not saying Reich was a good coach. I'm not saying DeFilippo worked out anywhere else, yeah. but there was a team effort in Philly, much like Nick Sirianni. Honestly, if you guys would pay Brock Purdy over more than Trevor Lawrence, give me Lawrence. I still think Lawrence is good. How many touchdowns has that guy just missed because a receiver stepped on the end line, by the way? The most in the history of the NFL. You guys, does anyone watch the Jags games? You know what I'm talking about? Every single time, like, his stupid receivers can't keep their toes in bounds.
855-212-4227. Maybe if the throw was a little better. I'm just kidding. 855-212-4227. Get it going here with Brock Purdy and this contract situation. He says he wants it done quickly. That has not been the way that the 49ers have done business. So we'll see. And does he deserve to be paid at the top of the market? Again, 855-212-4227.
All right, it's playoff time, Maggie, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the playoffs. 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks makes daily fantasy sports so accessible. It's so easy to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection. You could win up to 1,000 times your money.
Amazing for me last night, North Dakota State, Montana State. In the FCS championship, mm-hmm. I was all over it on Prize Picks, and I became a huge winner. Did you know that Prize Picks accepts major credit cards for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season? Of course, it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and it's available in more than 40 states. Tonight, I'm looking at Celtics Nuggets. This is a fun one. Now, it's not across two sports. It's just across one game. Give me Nikola Jokic more than 50.5 rebounds, points, and assists. And then I want Jaylen Brown up less than 22.5 points. Pearl, I went back and looked at all of his game logs against the Denver Nuggets. He is averaging less than 22.5 points. So give me the less than. I've got it all mapped out.
Love it. You can
play Prize Picks in California, Texas, 40-plus states. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Brock Purdy and his future in San Francisco, the topic right now, because Purdy wants this contract done quickly, Perloff, and that is just not what the 49ers have done recently with their biggest stars.
I got to be honest, I'm somewhat shocked at the poll results. Would you rather start a team with Trevor Lawrence or Brock Purdy? It's 62% Lawrence. I thought this was going to be a 90-10. Just based on height. Like, what coach would want the 5'11 guy versus the 6'4 guy? There's no NFL coach in the history of the league who would start with Brock Purdy over Trevor Lawrence.
Well, unless you're taking this poll at a coaching convention, this is fans who sit and watch the games and are living and dying. And I think they're watching Brock Purdy be effective and win games.
Well, I mean, still
go to the Super Bowl. Trevor Lawrence is far from that.
I'm just saying, I mean, still 62% are on Lawrence. I thought, I don't understand where these Purdyites come from. Because can you imagine if Trevor Lawrence was available to San Francisco?
You don't know where the Purdyites come from. We had a fan and a listener send us Brock Purdy for MVP t-shirts last year.
Yeah, that was last year. It's a long time ago. It's a long time ago. This is in Shanahan terms, like it's time for a new quarterback.
Oh, man. Let's go to Jose, who's in California. Jose, what do you think about Purdy?
Honestly, I love Brock Purdy. As a Niner fan, I'm a little biased, I'll admit that. I think it's unfair that we compare him to Mahomes, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to play the game. But look at his stats this year with all the injuries the Chiefs faced. They're not great. You know, Brock Purdy threw for more yards same amount of interceptions and only three less touchdowns. I don't feel Brock Purdy should get 60 to 65 million. As a Niner fan, I'd like 45 to 50 so that we could pay some people to come back. But, you know, you got to look at it. He was drafted last, and look how he's performed. You know, look what he did against the Lions last week with second and third string offensive line.
Yeah.
Over 300 yards, I think four touchdowns. The kid's good, man, and every quarterback needs a good supporting cast. It's just the way it is.
You know, Jose, it's a great point. I don't know if 49er fans or the 49ers specifically are going to be able to have their cake and eat it too. Would everyone like to pay $40 million for Brock Purdy or 45? I don't think that's the world we're living in right now with quarterbacks.
I think Brock Purdy will do a team-friendly deal because, you know, he's a late-round pick like Tom Brady. He's got team guy. He wants those weapons around. I think he would lean towards a team-friendly deal. In fact, I'm almost positive he will.
Well, what I think he would do is there's two ways you can be team-friendly, I guess. You could also sign a shorter deal for a lot more money. So he could do like $55 million, but it's only 2 or 3 years guaranteed, and then he gets another bite at the apple while he's still in his 20s.
Yeah, but you want this 2 or 3 year window is important for the Niners because you have all these older players. So I'm not sure that works out. Yeah, I just think that he doesn't want to take up all the cap space. I don't think he does, and I think he'd be smart not to.
Well, okay, but I look at your team, the Philadelphia Eagles, and you're paying Jalen Hurts at the top of the market. You're paying A.J. Brown at the top of the market. Devontae Smith's getting paid. You've got your offensive lines all getting paid. You have find a way to pay Jalen Hurts and have all these other guys.
Jalen Hurts, yeah, I know, but now Jalen Hurts' contract is not that it's punishing. What is he like?
Ninth in terms of average
annual value. What is he, like 45?
51. I'm telling you, you're not getting Purdy for 45.
There's a lot of players to pay in San Francisco. I mean,
there's a lot of players to pay in Philadelphia, and they find a way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners are different, though. Like, their MVP is clearly on the defensive side of the ball. Like, their one singular player is Nick Bosa.
And he's already paid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not all about the quarterback there. Yeah, and also, Saquon doesn't cost much at all. What is Saquon, $10 million? So that's nothing.
Let's go to Rich, who's in California. Rich, you've got a thought for the 49ers. If not Purdy, then who?
Yeah, exactly. Who out there is better than him right now that you could readily get?
Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that worked really well for the Jets, didn't it?
Well, what do you think? how do you think Brock Purdy would have done with the Jets?
I don't think Brock Purdy would have done very well with the Jets at all because Brock Purdy, as you said, is a system quarterback. But then again, all quarterbacks are system quarterbacks. You don't give them the tools, they don't score the points.
Yeah.
They get a bucket of credit and a bucket of blame. The problems the 49ers have very little to do with Brock Purdy and what you're going to pay for him. Number one, they ran into the collective bargaining agreement, which pretty much is doing exactly what it's supposed to do, spread the talent around. They're going to have to lose some people. Yeah, I guess so. But that's the price that you pay.
Yeah, but Rich, I don't think losing one of those people, I'm in lockstep with you. I don't think it's quarterback. And thank you for the call. I don't think you mess around. You know, they tried to get cute with Trey Lance. How did that work out? Most regimes don't survive that, by the way. And the 49ers have found a way to thrive because basically Brock Purdy saved their butts. And, you know, I just think that, you know, you can mess around with maybe Debo. You can mess around and drag this thing out with Ayuk. I would not do it with Purdy. You want to bring in Aaron Rodgers? Good luck to you. You want to bring in Kirk Cousins, 36, coming off the Achilles? Mm. Have fun with that. Sam Darnold, I don't think is leaving Minnesota. So that might not even be an option.
Yeah, how about Jimmy G? Bring him back. The one thing about it, you got to remember, Kyle Shanahan turned Matt Schaub into a superstar. I think Kyle Shanahan's quarterbacks always have great numbers.
Didn't Matt Schaub set a record for pick sixes at one point?
He had 4,800 yards in a season.
Okay, but that's one season.
Yeah, no, but like
they weren't even close to the Super Bowl in that season either.
He could create very, very productive quarterbacks. Like the guys under Shanahan, a lot of guys can have really good seasons. So he could work with anybody, I think.
Except for Trey Lance. That can't work.
It's funny. Like, Trey Lance actually won some games at San Francisco. He was absolutely the wrong kind of guy.
I think he won two games.
Yeah.
No, he was like, games.
He was like, but the funny thing is, like, he wasn't like, he didn't go 0-4. He was like 2-2. I think they actually probably could have been 11-6 with Trey Lance. And I'm not even joking. Like, they probably could have won a bunch of games. Because for 4 years, it was the defense. It was like, they were amazing. And then that fell apart. That, I think, is another big problem. Like, we keep talking about Brock Purdy. What is happening to that defense?
Big Friendly has an answer for you. Good morning, Big Friendly.
Good morning, Maxie Malone. EJ the EP. Manny the Man. Bogish, and the one, the only, Daddy Cool. Good morning, and thank you.
I thought Bogish was 411, Big Friendly.
He is, but see, I'm going to answer the question this morning, Bogey-Ogey. The reason why I'm mad at you, I asked you about the Rams draft. You're the man with the time, the info, and the knowledge, and you disrespected my family by disrespecting the Rams.
I did?
Yeah, when I asked you, what did you think about the Rams draft this year, your exact comment was, did they have one? Jared Verse, Brandon Fisk, Joshua Cardi. Come on, man. Our rookie draft class.
You asked me that. I remember you asked me this. Was this the morning after round one?
No, I asked you. It was the week after the draft when they were talking about, like, they were going around doing the draft opinions on ESPN and everywhere, giving the draft grades. And so I had asked you your opinion. But I understand 411. We're all good, baby. It's a new year, no animosity.
Big Friendly, I didn't realize you were keeping receipts like that.
Seriously.
The draft was in April.
I'm sorry.
Magsy, hey, I'm like an elephant. I remember everything.
those types of people scare me.
And I'm
people
built like
who
an
remember
elephant.
Everything.
Big Friendly, we didn't talk about Jared Verse because I saw Jared Verse play in college before he was Jared Verse. We didn't talk.
No, I think you were probably just, you know, poking at me, which I understand now, but at that point, I was needing something serious because I was a little depressed. I was feeling some kind of way, you know.
But,
what I mean?
By the way, Big Friendly, I didn't exactly hear you say Cam Kitchens is going to be a superstar. Like, you didn't see this draft. Did you know that this draft was going to be this good? And even McVay's like, whoa, these guys are good.
Daddy Cool, from last year's draft to this year's draft, I watched what the Rams did without high draft picks.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have no names. This year we got Jared Verse. Last year was Brandon Young. Once Aaron Donald stepped away, and Daddy Cool, I need to take you to a dark room and understand how you knew he was going to retire 3 months before he announced it. That's still some info I need to know.
I did? Wait, by the way, it's Byron Young. But that being said.
Byron Young, yeah, I'm sorry.
Kid, you know, the funny report about the Rams, I'm obsessed with this report, that they desperately tried to trade up to get Brock Bowers with 13.
Yeah. Yep.
Les Snead's on fire right now because Brock Bowers is great. Like, he is making the best picks, and they did great with Verse. So I think, Big Friendly, you're hitting on something. Bogish has no idea how to evaluate a draft
class.
How
about Bogish also saying he saw Jared Verse before he was Jared Verse? Like, you saw Nirvana in a coffee shop in 1991.
I saw him play for Albany.
Yeah, I know. It's just funny. It's like, I was there before he even got cool.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Jared Verse or Albany, like Khalil Mack? Like, is that, or was it?
Yeah.
Mack was in Buffalo.
Oh, whatever.
At least at the Division I school, Jerry versus playing in the CAA.
I actually didn't even know that. That is really cool. Yeah, Big Friendly. Bogus does have receipts there, too. What do you say to that?
I'm at the customer service, and I'm taking back everything. I'm not offended. You know what I mean? Okay, so can we... So, Magsy, you being a Buffalo fan, sweetheart, I didn't know you were such a Niner nurturer. You're making so many excuses for this team. Let's start with Deebo Samuels. Can we talk about how he's never been the same since Nick Scott introduced himself in the NFC Championship? Deebo's never been the same.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, listen, they've been trying to trade Deebo, though.
I'm just breaking down this Niner team. So all these Robins, and it's Frisco, baby. Robin, if you're listening, it's Frisco, not San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
You gave Ayuk money. He went down. You gave Trent Williams money. He was hurt all year. You gave McCaffrey money. Then you ran him into the ground. They're going to pay Purdy. There's no reason we should have this conversation. The Niners are doing, and let's go to coaching. This is why I blame Kyle Shanahan. I can't keep a lead hand. Wasn't he the coach when he gave away the house for Trey, no chance, Lance to play quarterback?
Yes, that's why I said I'm surprised.
So when you talk about receipts, Magsy, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just being a football fan here. Let's strip away all the Rams stuff. You haven't wore yet.
Yeah, I know.
And let's talk football.
Pain.
This coach is the reason why this Niner team will never win. You have, talking about they have no weapons, you have one of the best tight ends. You have a guy who got shot and came back and was a stud. You got a defense that shows up even when they're depleted. These, I don't know if these Niner fans are watching football or watching Locked On Niners, because they have a team. You have no coach.
Shout out Odyssey. Locked On Niners.
That's my
love
opinion.
It. But, you know, Big Thank Friendly, you. It's a great opinion. Thank you. Pain. That very fun call. Funny call. He had a couple great lines there. He said elephant in the room, even though he, what'd he say?
Said he's built like one.
He's built like one.
He workshopped the no chance Lance line with
that was
me.
Good.
And I told Manny, that's a good line.
It's a great
By the way,
line.
I was upset with you yesterday. I thought Lance looked pretty good on Sunday. He was not bad at all. He definitely looked good in the first half. Like, guy can complete a pass. I don't know why the Cowboys didn't play him all season.
Well,
made no sense to me at all.
Listen, if you want to say I'm being a 49er apologist because I'm blaming some of the injuries, yeah, Ayuk was gone for the whole year. We talked about how important Ayuk was to this team. We argued about it. Turns out pretty damn important. And
I don't know about that.
I can't. I cannot.
I mean, you can't.
McCaffrey.
There's no win.
McCaffrey was way more important.
And I was going to get to McCaffrey. And Ricky Pearsall, I mean, Big Friendly said it. The dude is an all-time miracle story, but who expected anything from him this year? He almost bled out on a sidewalk. Thank God that wasn't the how this thing ended.
At the same time, though, I think to Big Friendly's point a little bit, there was, and there still continues this conversation we're literally just having about that Kyle Shanahan could kind of win with anybody. Like, oh, Brock Purdy, how dare you ask for $55 million? I can just go get anybody. So I think that's the frustration from Niners haters,
right,
is that you guys keep saying how great Kyle Shanahan is. All right, well, if he's so great and he can win with anybody, why couldn't he win with these guys?
Bogish has headlines for us. What's up, folks?
By the way, Matt Schaub was awesome under Kyle Shanahan. He led the league in passing, then Shanahan left. Like, he was a superstar.
Superstar is not much.
But you should look at his numbers under Shanahan.
No, his numbers are good. He was not a superstar.
That's the thing. Like, I'm just saying, anybody. Schaub is just as good as Brock Purdy was. Like, Schaub would have done the same thing that Brock Purdy would have done. Schaub was a good quarterback.
Schaub was terrible.
Remember
in
all
playoff
the pick
games.
Sixes he yes. had? It
playoff
was like
games.
Seven.
Yeah.
It was like
that's
seven games have, in a row.
That's because he didn't have Shanahan.
You also said Kirk Cousins, who had a stretch where he threw no touchdowns and eight interceptions. Purdy's never done that. And if you want to assume that Kirk Cousins is going to come back from his Achilles next year.
You like that? Oh,
come on. Kirk Cousins
come on.
Is
no,
high level quarterback.
He got benched.
Generally, though, he's a high level.
Yeah, but he's coming off an Achilles.
You're
getting vintage Kirk Cousins, though.
Yeah, no, I don't know what Cousins like, but I mean, Cousins with Shanahan, if Cousins was healthy, like, that could be a thing.
Listen, Shanahan could have had Cousins, and they passed on him for Garoppolo. So.
Yeah, I know, but now, like, I'm just saying, like, he won with Garoppolo. He definitely could have done some things with Kirk Cousins.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he did things with Kirk Cousins. They were great together.
Can we post? I don't want to shortchange you. We only got a couple minutes here.
There's nothing more important than Kirk Cousins, Kyle Shanahan debate.
I'm good. I got time here.
Okay.
All right. While the coaching carousel spins, there are playoff games soon. Eagles QB Jalen Hurts remains in concussion protocols. The Packers confirming a torn ACL for receiver Christian Watson. The Ravens say wideout Zay Flowers is day-to-day with Saturday's knee injury. And Amari Cooper has yet to rejoin the Bills after being excused for their last game for personal reasons. Sean McDermott didn't know yesterday if he would be available for Sunday's game with the Broncos. As for that coaching carousel, it's not just Mike McCarthy and Ben Johnson on the Bears' mind. They have asked to interview four other offensive minds, including Steelers OC Arthur Smith, Dolphins coordinator Anthony Weaver, the lone defensive name attached to them yesterday. I'm going to say this slowly. Kyrie Irving is dealing with a bulging disc in his back.
Nicely done.
So he's out 1 to 2 weeks at least. The Mavs already down Luka, so they can't win right now.
Lead out ahead for Wells. Wells pump fakes. Marshall flies by. Wells lays it up and in. Marshall trying to recover, commits the foul, the hoop, and the harm for the rookie Jalen Wells. The lead out pass by Scottie Pippen Jr. gives him the assist, and the Grizzlies back up 9, looking to make it 10.
That's Eric Hasselton on Grizzlies Radio. Memphis a 119-104 victory, extending the Dallas skid to 5. The Kings win streak is 5, outlasting the Heat 123-118 in double overtime. The Pacers 113-99 winners in Brooklyn, and the Bucks rolled through Toronto 128-104. Giannis 11 points, 12 rebounds, and 13 assists. The Oakland A's spending more money this offseason, reportedly extending outfielder Brent Rooker 5 years, $60 million. Rooker, an all-star 2 years ago, he got MVP votes for this past season. And you guys were just discussing Trey Lance. His brother Bryce Lance is now a North Dakota State wide receiver. Had a huge game for them last night in their 35-32 win over top-seeded Montana State to win the FCS title. That is 10 natties now for the Bison, all in the last 14 years. Guys, back to you.
But new head coach this year, right?
New head coach who was an assistant, I think, at the beginning of this dynasty. Yes. So new head coach for this year.
Man,
but an old face.
How about Trey Lance's brother is going to probably end up being a star? That'd be
He looked damn good last night.
Thank you, folks. Okay, coming up, a surprise, in my opinion, firing in the NFL could be Alabama's gain. How does this impact the Crimson Tide? We'll tell you next. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So we're learning a lot about, is this 70s or 60s? 70s rock here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Manny and EJ are not exactly aficionados, did not know much about Lynyrd Skynyrd, like their existence. Although Manny knew, how did we get to Freebird? Because it's somebody's song?
Yeah, it was the goal song for Team USA in the World Juniors.
Yeah. So, yeah, no Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Had no idea it was by Lynyrd Skynyrd until 5 minutes before you asked me yesterday.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I get them confused with a lot of bands. We watched the movie Almost Famous the other day at home.
Yeah.
My kids are really into classic rock because of the Bob Dylan movie. Mm. My daughter loved Timothy Chalamet playing Bob Dylan. So she's like, I want to see Almost Famous, which is about... It's about
like a fictional band.
It's a fictional band where Cameron Crowe, a version of Cameron Crowe, who toured with Led Zeppelin, the Eagles, and Lynyrd Skynyrd was one of the inspirations for the movie Almost Famous, because they almost died in a plane wreck, or they did have a plane wreck where I think people were hurt. Anyway, so they were on my mind a lot, and it's funny you brought them up having no idea. Now, what's a song that I'm supposed to know? It's called Simple Man by
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Is it a big deal?
Yeah, Manny will find it for you.
Yeah, I just I know Sweet Home Alabama and Freebird. I did not know this other song.
You've heard it 1 million times, I promise you. In the meantime, we do have more coaching carousel updates, which was Seattle firing their offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb. Now, obviously for the Seahawks, this is a big deal in and of itself because the future of Geno Smith may be in doubt. I saw Tyler Lockett maybe talking about how this could have been his last game with the Seahawks. Obviously, you have JSN, you've got DK Metcalf, you've got a good run game. But the future of the offense in Seattle is now up in the air. They finished 14th in total offense this season, 18th in points per game, 28th in rushing, so they want to make an upgrade. Now, where this plays into both NFL and college, Perloff, is that Ryan Grubb was their offensive coordinator, who was the OC at Washington with Kalen DeBoer. They've actually coached with each other at 4 different stops, 4 different places. The head coach and the OC have been together. So it seems pretty natural to connect some dots here that Ryan Grubb, fired by the Seattle Seahawks, will now just simply pack his bags and go to that sweet home Alabama, to go to Alabama and coach with Kalen DeBoer.
Well, there you go. Great.
All right. Well, I guess I set it up there for you.
So but I'm curious. Who calls plays for them? Is it? I thought DeBoer was also kind of a play caller type.
I think that so these guys. Here's the biggest thing for Alabama. You want to take the Alabama side of it?
Yeah.
Obviously, Jalen Milroe has declared for the NFL draft. What are you going to be doing at quarterback? And how is this going to be a team where it looks like Kalen DeBoer puts his stamp on the team? Now, I think that's going to be really important because you're coming out of the Nick Saban shadow, if you ever can. And I think it's going to be a big deal for Kalen DeBoer. Step one, who's your quarterback? Who do you want to get in there? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to try to recreate? I don't know if Michael Penix is going to be possible to recreate that, but something close to that, I believe, is what Alabama fans are expecting.
Yeah, so there's a guy there, right, who I think his name, Austin Mack, I'm looking at, who was a backup in Washington, who I guess killed it in practice in spring games. So he might be the guy, because it seems to me that I'm not a DeBoer expert. You really need to run his system. Like, he is kind of a system coach. So get a guy in, like, Milroe did not fit. So a lot of people want this Austin Mack kid to be the guy. And they still have Ty Simpson, so he'll probably be the starter. And the thing about it is there's really no one left in the portal for them to get. So they're looking at some sort of combination. I don't think you're getting a Penix. Like, I don't think there's a star quarterback waiting there.
Well, Penix wasn't Penix. I mean, at Indiana, he was a good quarterback who was injured, who I don't think people saw the national championship game coming at all.
In fact, I thought he was hurt, but Penix was Penix before Washington. Like, he was fantastic that one year before he got hurt in Indiana. And you knew he had the talent. He had two reconstructed knees. That's why people gave up on Penix. I think that I kind of worry that DeBoer does not have the guy, and Alabama doesn't have this underlying story. They don't have really the money to compete with some of these other schools, which is crazy to say, but it doesn't feel like they're a Texas or even an SMU or a Florida or a Miami. Like, I don't know. I think we could be looking at the end of the dominant era.
Well, you might have been looking at the end of the dominant era just because, right? Because, yeah. And not because Alabama is cash poor, which I do not believe, but just because you're moving on from Saban, and, you know, it's just a different world in college football now. It's just, you can't build the kind of depth. Look at Georgia. You can't build the kind of depth that you once did, because your second and third string guys can go get paid somewhere else, and they'll play somewhere else.
Right, but also I do think... I think you're dismissing that too quickly. I think there are schools that have bigger payrolls than Alabama. And that's a huge deal. It's like kind of the whole ballgame right now. Like, Ohio State bought a $20 million team this year. That number is going to go up, but they're probably going to win the national title. They're heavy favorites right now.
Okay, but the one thing about, I think there's also part of this with Ohio State where, yeah, you can look at Caleb Downs and you can look at Quinshon Judkins and you can say, look at these like free agent portal guys that they brought in, Will Howard, but they also pay their own guys. And that's the thing about Alabama. I still think that the college football, for all the money, I think a lot of your money is earmarked for your own guys that you recruit out of high school, that you develop, right. And that's like 90% of your roster, and then you sort of fill in with the portal guys. And I think that Alabama still carries the gravitas of being able to walk into a high school and saying, you can play for Alabama. I don't think that's all gone just because Nick Saban is out the door. Alabama, we talked about it, we argued about it. Blue blood college football program that did not become invented the moment that Nick Saban walked in the door. It existed long before that and will exist long after him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, if that five-star recruit is sitting there and Alabama walks in the door, if another school walks in with a bigger check, why wouldn't you just go with the bigger check?
Well, you might, but I'm not saying that Alabama all of a sudden can't pay anybody. They're going to recruit guys out of high school, and I think they're going to keep a lot of their guys. Like, just like Ohio State, where's a lot of that $20 million is going towards their own roster.
Well,
that they developed, that they drafted out of high, that they got out of high school, not drafted.
Yeah,
that
but
they recruited out of high school and
but they outpaid
stick around.
They probably outpaid everybody for Jeremiah Smith. I think Alabama can't, like, they need the best roster. To be Alabama, you need the best roster in the country, and you're not going to be able to compete. Like, you're going to be just as good as some teams, but you're not going to be superior like you used to be. And again, like, I don't know. I think if you're Jeremiah Smith, I'd be surprised if Alabama is going to win a lot of those battles.
Well, I guess I would counter with this. We're talking about Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, was fired. He's coached with Kalen DeBoer, the head coach of Alabama, at four different schools. So it seems pretty obvious that they would team up again. Kalen DeBoer didn't have the best roster when he was in Washington. No one says the Huskies have the highest, payroll, cash, whatever you want to say. And they got all the way to the national title game. So I think part of the reason why Kalen DeBoer was attractive is because they thought he could do more with less, air quotes. And I don't think Alabama is that much less. I don't think it's like a totally different ball game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I just don't think you could divorce the fact that you just saw Georgia stink it up on a big stage, and Alabama, like, oh man, like, whatever happened the last 10 years is now somewhat irrelevant to modern college football. So you almost like take it off the board. This is totally different. It's a whole new ball game, not to use a cliche, but now Alabama and Georgia just cannot stack five-star recruits. And
but isn't that why you want Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah, but I feel like Kalen DeBoer will have, like, he'll be like a once every 4 years, so he'll be elite.
Well, that might be Alabama's future now. That might be everyone's future. That's not a knock.
Well, it's just very different than Saban, where every year they were, what was his lowest preseason ranking until the final year was like 3. I just don't think Alabama's going to be able to do that. I mean, they're not going to be, I don't have preseason rankings, like look ahead rankings for next year, but I can't imagine they're a top 3 team. They have no quarterback right now, and they have one offensive weapon, Ryan Williams, and that's about it.
And they will keep him. I mean, that you're going to find the money for him, that's for sure. 855-212-4227. I thought Kalen DeBoer's been okay recruiting in the South, which was a question that people had. Like, oh, he's not going to be able to walk into the high schools. Like, people respect him.
That's all about one thing. It's all about money now. And it's going to just keep growing that way.
855-212-4227. So much to get to, including... a playoff game hangs in the balance based on one singular thing. What is that thing? We'll tell you about it next. M&P.